So GIFCT, as the acronym is it started out as an industry association of the biggest social media service providers, Facebook, YouTube, Microsoft, who came together pretty much as a response to the public pressure of which my organization, the Counter-Extremism Project, was a part, saying that if you look at their track record on preventing their platforms being misused by terrorists and extremists, their record was abysmal. I'm talking a couple of years ago. GIFCT then developed some voluntary standards. It developed a database of hashes, which had a couple hundred thousand hashes in it, which allowed the recognition of already defined terrorism content. That ameliorated the situation in some aspects. Very interestingly, only in those aspects that had the greatest media attention. So, beheading videos of ISIL, it got better. Propaganda videos, coordination of terrorist attacks, not so much. Massive failures along the way, including the Christchurch live streaming and the utter failure to prevent the video from reappearing on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked about this many times over the last couple of years. Now, a couple of years ago, the industry understood that if it is just a pure industry meeting point, it may actually not work as much as a lobby organization as it potentially could. So they formed into a what they call independent think tank. However, the think tank is very not independently financed exactly by those great players. So the independence is, let's say, more theoretical than actual.
Okay.
We at CEP, yeah.
So I gather from your tone here and from what you've said that, well, this is a great idea. It's really not working. And looking at some of the conversations we've had over the years, they're not really doing what they could or as much as they could or should be doing. Am I wrong about that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good idea. It could work. However, if you look at what GIFCT does, what its staff is, the research project it's funding, and it's also a funding mechanism for research organizations, there is a distinct lack of technical expertise in the organization as a whole, which means we are talking to extremely good and well-known names and experts in the field of terrorism and extremism, who unfortunately are utterly divorced from the people who really could ameliorate the misuse, and that is the programmers and the technicians of those major companies. As we have discussed many times, this is terrorism and extremism on social media is neither a technical issue, as far as the spread of this material is concerned, nor is it a financial issue. It is fairly simply a regulatory issue. No legal risk in America under the Communications Decency Act, no legal risk for the company in Europe, both under the 2000 regulation, nor under the new Digital Services Act of the European Union, is there any liability. No legal risk, no liability means no effort in a financial, technical term. Really, in serious terms, by these platforms. Because why would you do this? It costs money to divert technicians from advertising to fighting terrorism. So you simply don't. And you use GIFCT as a lobby organization.
So why are they getting this wrong? What's the problem here?
Look, I mean, it's not like nothing has happened. As I said, once an issue is raised very loudly and very clearly in the media, these companies actually do something retroactively to solve this issue. Our criticism is that it shouldn't be that outside organizations like us or the international media continues to need to put pressure on every single aspect of every single issue, which then in hindsight gets resolved by the companies after a lot of hoo-ha. It should be more proactively. They are the best technicians in the
So
world.
that then is my question, Hans, and perhaps this is more rhetorical than anything, and certainly is not something that you as an expert in this field can answer. Is these people are smart enough to know this, that you should be proactive and you can do this without somebody running in, rushing and outing you in the news for a mistake. It seems to me maybe they're just mailing it in.
To be totally honest, you know, they are proactive in all the issues that they have solved before. What they don't do is a strategic approach to say terrorism in all its forms, in all its ways that it can misuse our platforms, are not going to be allowed on our platform. For example, my specialty, counterterrorism financing, is a very, very good example. If you go through the terms of services of those major platforms, it says a lot about terrorism and not allowing violence, which means theoretically their monitoring systems should focus on that. One can put a little bit of a question mark in there when it gets into details, but it doesn't even mention the word terrorism financing, which means the monitoring systems not at all are focusing on that issue. And that's, you know, we could say the same thing until the Christchurch video, as far as live streaming is concerned. We could say the same thing now about right-wing extremism, which gets more and more violent, not just in North America, but also in Europe. And they haven't caught on to that one, so they're better on ISIL. They're not nearly as far on right-wing extremism and terrorism. And one wonders why you have to create this kind of terms and modes in the media for them to focus on. And this is not sitting down and saying, we don't want this on our platform, period. And if you're a left-wing, right-wing Islamist, if you want to live stream or finance or recruit, we simply gonna prevent you from doing that. They have the technical ability, they have the technical expertise. They choose not to do because it would cost a lot to take such a strategic approach, and it's cheaper and more convenient to do it piecemeal. Whenever a particular problem comes, this particular problem and only this particular problem gets solved.
And so what we're doing today is upsetting the apple cart here, because what I'm getting at here is that's not the reason to do this, just because somebody's watching you. The thing that's important, you know, in this kind of work is what are you doing when nobody's looking, you know? And so if you're just doing it for people to see you and say, oh, what a great job they're doing, that is the wrong reason to be doing it. I mean, because I was reading that your executive director, David Ibsen, said the worst of the worst content is still online. That's something that could be dealt with. There's money to do that out there, isn't it?
Easily. It's just a question of where is your corporate focus? And as, you know, they have been forwarding this, in my opinion, and the opinion of CEP, false narrative that they are the custodians of free speech while having a completely closed platform and moderating everything that goes on their platform. They, in fact, are a simply commercial enterprise. And it is simply not a necessary, neither legally mandated nor through liability enforced thing to do. Compliance with the financial system is only so high because the fines are very high and the reputational damage costs billions of dollars to banks if they get in the hot waters. There is nothing comparable to this in the tech sector.
Yeah. Well, Hans, last thing, aside from making another big stink about it, which is what it seems to take to get action, what is it that people, ordinary folks, can do about this?
Support any political effort that thinks about reasonable efforts to regulate this industry. Stop believing the narrative that this industry has anything to do with freedom of speech. The internet in the 90s was a place for freedom of speech. These are commercial global conglomerates who sell you a service dressed up as freedom of speech. Nothing you ever say will not be moderated. You don't have the freedom to say or be heard on these platforms. You only have the freedom to generate engagement for these platforms, which makes them money. Therefore, regulation that guarantees freedom of speech, also the freedom of people who are victims to speak, not just the terrorists, is what is demanded. And that needs to be a complete conceptual turnaround in the approach to this industry in Europe, where we are a little bit further ahead than the United States, but also in the United States. The First Amendment does not guarantee a terrorist from organizing a terror attack. That has nothing at all to do with freedom of speech. It has nothing at all to do with freedom of speech if you finance terrorism or if you glorify the killing of innocent civilians as terrorists, including on the right wing, regularly do. That's not the issue here. The issue is simple. that without this type of regulation, this industry will never really strategically make this decision.
Dr. Hans-Jacob Schindler, Senior Director of the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.